guys appreciate our worship. They're aggravated with them right now. They aggravated me as they walked out. I tell you, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I'm glad you're here. I'm really excited. You're here. I'm here. The Holy Spirit's here. And we're going to have a good time this morning. I really believe God's got something special planned this morning. And what's good about a message like this is whether you're a believer or you're just checking God out or you're just not sure about church at all and what to do with it, I think God has something for you this morning. And we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and what God does in the midst of our lives. Last week, we began a series called Paraclete. Not a parakeet, not a paracletes, but a paraclete. That is the Greek word for Holy Spirit. It means called alongside of, to walk with one. And it's that teaching. And what we're looking at and what I wanted us to think about in the series is we live in a world that's pretty rough to live in. I don't know about you, but I know for me, life has its ups and downs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, life has its battles, it has its frustrations, it has its aggravations, it has successes and defeats, it has losses, and life has all these things. There's battles, there's burdens in our life, it's life, it's up and down, and how do we live in a life in our world and live victoriously in spite of all of that? How do I live a victorious life in spite of unsuccessfulness? In spite of the losses, in spite of the frustrations, in spite of anger, in spite of put-downs, how do you live a life that's victorious in our world today? You know, I always get frustrated with some preachers or some Christians who sit there and say, you become a believer, become a Christian, you'll never have a problem again. I don't know where that Christianity's at, because I've been a Christian for a while, and I got my share of problems. And if you don't have any, I will gladly share. Anybody want a problem? I can give you, right? I do not mind sharing my problems, all right? And, you know, how do we live a life? How do we live victoriously? How do we live above life in its turmoils? Anybody want to know that? Anybody ever wrestle with that? How do you live? How do you live instead of living down with all the stuff that's going on and getting pushed down and put down and pulled down? How do you live a victorious life? And how do we do that? And how can we do that in the midst of life? And, you know, what do we do? You know, anybody need some comfort? You know? Does anybody here need some strength? You know, does anybody here need some wisdom when you're dealing with life? Anybody need any of these elements in our lives? You know, how do we get there? Now, I want to tell you, I think there's many components that make that up, all right? But I think one of the key components, as a matter of fact, the key component to live a victorious life is called God, and it's called the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. All right? That's that key component that's going to help us live above all the things in life, above all that life throws at us. That key ingredient is going to be the Holy Spirit. Here, there's a little outline in your worship folder. I encourage you to get it out. You can kind of follow along. There's some blanks you could fill out if you'd like. Now, I encourage you to participate by filling them out. But here's what it says here in 1 John. That you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people. Anybody have battles with people? Anybody get frustrated with people? Anybody get aggravated with people? Anybody, you know, squashed, put down by people? Anybody want victory over people? That's what he's saying here. Listen to what he's saying. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won victory over those people who have put you down, those people who have pulled you down, those people who have attacked you. Because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit that lives in this world. You have victory in your relationships with those who want to squash you, with those who want to push you down, with those who want to take you down, those losses, those hurts, those wounds. You have victory over those of what? The Spirit that lives within you. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in us. And now, if you weren't here last week, that was the whole message. And so I put a little box here. This was last week's message, kind of a snippet, kind of a real quick what we did last week, but I want to make sure you get this, that the presence of God is in every believer, okay? That when you cross that invisible line, you hear me say this in this church all the time, when you reach that point in your life where you say something along, God, I'm tired of doing things my way, I want to do them your way, come into my life and take control. God comes in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Anybody on board with that one? Say amen if you're on board with that. All right, thank you. You know, God comes in and he dwells in you at that point. He lives in you and you have the presence of God from that moment you accept him. Here's what Jesus and them had to say and Peter as he preached. Listen to what he says. Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Excuse me. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God, the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. God's saying, everyone who crosses that invisible line, everyone who reaches that point in their life where, you know, God, I'm yours, whatever, God, that God's going to pour his Spirit into your life and that you're going to receive. I wrote it this way. Every believer receives the Holy Spirit. Not a few, not some. It's not, well, the preacher gets it and maybe the worship team gets it. Maybe the worship team, they were aggravating this morning. You know? No. Everyone receives the Holy Spirit. Every believer, you when you accept Christ, that Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. But I want to make sure you understand something. You do not possess the Holy Spirit. The teaching is the Holy Spirit possesses you. All right, that's a clarification there. You know, that you have surrendered to him and he possesses you. But then last week I gave you some warnings. That's why this message this morning grows out of these warnings. All right, because we have to warning. Yeah, I received the Holy Spirit, but I got to be careful. Because what it says here, and I put this right here, don't quench the Holy Spirit. God gives me the Holy Spirit, but I can kind of crowd the Spirit out. I can kind of push the Spirit away. Now, he's still in there, but I've kind of ignored him. I've kind of given him a little corner. I kind of let him, you know, you're over here, God, and I've got this. I can handle this, God. I don't need you involved in this part, God. I'm going to school. I don't need you involved in school. I got a job. God, involved in my job, God. God, I got these neighbors that I'm aggravated with. I don't need you to deal with them. I'm going to deal with them, God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we can quench the Spirit. And it says this in 1 Thessalonians, do not quench the Spirit. Pretty plain, isn't it? We can kind of push the Spirit out and push the Spirit away. God's poured him into us that we kind of crowd him out. And then also we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, many of us are parents here. We have children. You ever get grieved when they misbehave anybody? You get angry with them, right? But then it breaks your heart, right? It hurts. You're trying to do your best. You want the best for your kids. And they mess up. And it just, oh, God, you know, what can I do better? You know, how, you know. And so we grieve the Spirit. And we need to understand that sometimes we push God away. And when we push God away, it hurts. Sometimes our actions, sometimes our words, sometimes our attitude will grieve the Holy Spirit. That put grieve in that little blank right there. We'll grieve the Holy Spirit. And we need to see that in our lives and understand that. That we don't want to grieve the Spirit. Listen to what it says here. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of judgment. You see, you were sealed with the, when you became a Christian, you receive it. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. He's saying these things will grieve the Spirit. Don't do these things. And so this morning's message grows out of this picture that I want us to see this morning. It grows out of that we need to be filled with the Spirit. Yes, I receive the Spirit, but I've got to be careful because I will crowd him out. I will push him away. I've got to be careful because sometimes my attitude, my words, and my actions will kind of move the Spirit out of the way. And so we got to be careful. And so Paul says it this way. Here's this, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at what it says. Do not be drunk with wine, all right, which leads to debauchery. I like that verse. I like that. Don't be drunk with wine. It leads to debauchery. It's not a good word, debauchery. You know, I like that word. You got to watch out. Alcohol will get you in trouble is what it's saying. Be filled with the Spirit. Why don't you circle that word filled? All right. You receive the Holy Spirit when you become a child of God. You receive that Holy Spirit when you cross that invisible line that I talk about. When you tell God, God, I'm going to do life your way. I'm tired of doing it my way. We call that sin, okay? I'm going to do life your way, God. Come into my life and take control. And he pours that Spirit into it, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that word filled, let me give you some Greek letters. Yeah, I get to prove my education's worth something to my wife, okay? You know, that Greek word filled, let me read this to you. I wrote it down. It's present, passive, imperative, second person, plural. Does that make sense to you? No, but let me tell you what it means. It's present, which means it's a continual, habitual action. It's something that is always going on. It's passive, which means it's nothing you do, it's something God does in you. All right? Does that make sense so far? You know, God pours him into you. God pouring him into you. It's an imperative. I think we all know what imperative means. You got to do it. You know, it's second person. It's not you. And it's plural. It's going to happen over and over and over again. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a repetitive action. I receive the Spirit. I get all the Spirit I'm going to get when I receive the Spirit. But the warning says, don't quench him. Don't push him out. Because here's the challenge. I don't know about you, but I cannot live the Christian life 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, there's things that just push my button. Anybody get their buttons pushed? Yeah. Anybody have that relationship? Anybody know that one? Anybody know that one that just drives you? Yeah. We can't. You know, we God fills us, but we get that quenching, we get that grieving of the Spirit in our lives. And so I always have this picture in my mind, so I have some stuff to kind of paint a picture this morning. Because this is the picture I have, and I hope it communicates to you. I have a glass here, and this is kind of like our life. This is our life. You cross the line, and you become a child of God, and so you got the little glass, and then the Spirit fills you. Make me want to go to the bathroom. Anybody get the water running? Come on. So the Spirit fills you up. And now I want to make sure you know, he doesn't just fill you up. The thing about God, you know, God doesn't never just fill you up. God always overfills. Anybody know the 23rd Psalm? He's going to wind out our head, and what's going to overflow? The cup. You read the Word of God, the well is going to come up inside of us, and it's going to overflow. God never fills anything up, and so he fills us up with the Spirit. Anybody on board with that? We get the Spirit. I've crossed that line. God lives in my heart. But I got some money, honey. Does money ever get in the way with God? Huh? Does money ever cause us some issue? You know, do we ever kind of want, you know, it's my money. I want to do what I want with my money. I don't care what God says. You know? Or how about family? I was told who this was. One of the little girls here told me this is one of the Disney characters. I don't know which one. I already forgot. But, you know, do we ever let family and relationships get in an issue? Anybody? You ever kind of push us away from God, you know, and, you know, that aggravating guy at work or that student or, I hate to say it, how about, anybody got family? You know, in-laws or maybe outlaws? You know, we get family get in our way and, I don't know about you, but I like having fun. Fun for me is Disney, right? Anybody? Anybody like having fun? Does anybody ever let the fun get in the way of God? You know? Or how about sports? You know? You got, what is it, traveling baseball or football and soccer and, you know, the Giants are on. Are the Giants playing right now? I don't know. Anybody ever let sports get in the way? You know, we got games we got to go to and things you got to go see, you know, and so we got games. Or how about do we ever let work get in the way? Anybody? You know, I got work. I got things I got to do. I got work, God. I can't do this, God, because I got work to do. You know, or how about, I got a little highlighter. How about school? Anybody? You know, you're going to school. Now, this one was, when I was in college, school was really important. I mean, I was focused. You know, you can talk to my wife about that. That was one of the hardest times in my marriage is because, you know what? I didn't focus on my marriage. I focused on school. And so you get school, and that kind of gets in your way, you know? And then we got things. So I got a car here. Again, I had a nice, brand new, kids tore up, man. Anybody ever get, you know, got a house? Anybody? Got a house? You know, anybody got some things? You know, we get things, and we get all this stuff in our way, you know? You know, it's like, yeah, God, the Spirit's still there. Is the Spirit still there? Spirit's still there. I'm still filled with the Spirit, but I've kind of crowded that Spirit out in some of my life. And so what we got to do is we got to start taking all this stuff out of our lives. I brought some tongs here to help me get it out. You know, we got all this stuff out of our life, and start coming back to God, and there's sports too. Oh, yeah. Anybody ever have trouble getting stuff out of your life? You know, we get these things in our life. You know, I still want to do it my way. You know, I got things I want to, hey, come on. I got things I want to do, and let's see, what do we got? Oh, we still got fun. I am going to Disneyland in September, okay? Oh, come on. You know the hardest one to get out, though? I practice this. The hardest one to get out is money. Isn't that the hardest thing to get out of our life? Does money seem to have a lot of control? You know, so, and money, 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 money. All right. So I get all that stuff out of my life. I come back to God. I get it out. But what's wrong? It's not full. So I come in and I come back to God, and he fills me up anew and afresh. That's what it means to be filled with. Does that paint a nice picture? That we can kind of crowd God off. We kind of grieve the Spirit. We kind of quench the Spirit. We let things in our world, things in our life, kind of step into the midst of our life and kind of push God out. And sometimes we got to come back to God and get a refreshing. Anybody need a refreshing with the Spirit? You know, just need a fresh touch from God. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? You know, we need to have this, because God's called us to be filled with that Spirit. I wanted to come back to that again. Because we've got to be filled with the Spirit. If I want to have victory over all this stuff in my life, it's got to take the Spirit. God's going to have to do something. You know, I can't do it. You know, there's got to be something in me, something that comes up within me, that wells up and overflows out of me, that makes it happen. And so I need to be filled with that Spirit. And so what I want to do is just give you just real quick some things to do. And I wrote it this way. Here's what I wrote. If you look at the bottom of that first page, it goes, we are filled with the Spirit to the extent that we are yielded to the Spirit. I am filled with the Spirit to the extent I am yielded to the Spirit. God, not my way, but yours. God, it's not all this other stuff, God. Not all this other things in my life, God. I'm going to live above all of this. You know, if you live with this stuff, you're living with it. If you want to live above it, you got to get with God. Anybody on board with that one? And that's that Spirit-filled life. And what God says, you know, I got it all. It's always there. If you're a believer, I'm going to tell you, it's always there. But if you kind of quenched it, you kind of grieved it, you kind of let some of these other things get in your life, and then you find defeat, then you find hurts, you find wounds, you're not successful, frustrations. See, we let these things bubble up in our life. We let these things push the Spirit away, and we don't live a victorious life. We live with all the stuff in life. But you got to get above it, and you can't do it on your own. Remember, it's passive. You got to come back to God. You got to come back and let God do his work. And so just three quick things to kind of help you do that. Then I'm going to tell you some benefits of it, okay? The first one I put here is we got to confess and forsake our sin. I got to tell God, God, that relationship in my family, part of it's my problem. Did you know that? You know, when I got bad feelings in my family, you know, sometimes I've done some stupid stuff. Anybody done some stupid stuff in your life? You know? And it's like, you know, God, yeah, I have to own that. At work, school, God, I have to own it. So we got to come back. In order to get it out of my life, I had to pull all that stuff out. To pull it out of your life, it's real simple. You pull it out with the grace of God. Is that okay? You don't pull it out yourself. God's grace pulls it out of your life. God's grace. It's not about, well, I'm sorry. It's not about being sorrow. Sorry. It's not about grieving. It's not about regrets. Well, I was sorry. Well, being sorry is not enough. You got to take it out. That's confessing and forsaking it. God, I'm going to put this away. God, it's not going to be part of my life. That's why it's hard to do it 24/7, 365 days a year. Otherwise, it'd be real easy. God gave me the Spirit. Hey, man, hallelujah. Woo! That's it. Been a Christian now for almost, I don't know, 45 to 50 years. I don't know, somewhere in there. And it's like, it's not easy. And I want to live victoriously. I don't want to live in this world with all the, you know, Like I said, you know what's fun? I walk all over the place. And so I wave at pretty much everybody that's driving down the road. Some of you might see me walking. I'll wave at you. I don't care if I know you or not. I'm going to wave. You know? And it's fun to look at people's faces. You know, you ever go to a stop sign and look at somebody's face at a stop sign? And you're just going, man, their life must be horrible. You know, something must have bad happened today, you know? We let life dictate. I'm not going to let life dictate to me my joy, my peace, my victory. The Spirit is going to do that, you know? And so I'm going to have that victory, and so I'm going to confess it. You know, God, these things are important to me. My family matters. My son's going back to Iraq. That matters to me, you know? And my daughter, you know, they're up in Washington, and the other one over here, I want to see my grandkids. Family matters to me, God. But God, you're a priority. My job, my stuff. Don't mess with my computer, okay? You know, that's mine. My wife don't even get on my computer. You need to understand, that's my computer. You know? We do this. And so God, you know, God, it's all yours. So we got to confess and forsake our sin. I got to pull all that stuff out. Then the second thing I put down here, I got to renew my mind. I got to get my mind off all this stuff. I got to get my mind off all the heartache and all the wounds and all the hurts. You know what that guy did to me? I can tell you a story. This guy did something to me. I mean, I can tell you a story after. Anybody have somebody do something to you? And it's like, oh man, I can't wait to get even. I was always one. You know, I was raised with three brothers. We're all 1 year apart. Revenge was sweet. All right. I mean, I can still remember, you know, anybody remember balsa wood airplanes? Come on, some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. I mean, make this little balsa wood, then you line it with paper and it shrinks and you do all this kind of stuff. My brother did something to me one time and I went in there and I fixed his balsa wood airplane. It was toothpicks when I got done with it. He ain't going to be able to fix it. But we got to get our mind off all that kind of stuff. We got to get our mind back on God. And so we got to renew our mind. God, it's not the stuff, and it's not all the negative stuff, and it's not all the hurts and wounds, and it's not all the things, that it matters to me, and I need, and I want, and I would like, and all that matters. But God, my mind is on you. And I set my mind on God. And it just changes perspective. Doesn't it change perspective of life when your mind is set on God? When what matters and what's important is what God is going to do? Look at what it says. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewed mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, the good, pleasing, and perfect will, the victorious life. That's what you're going to get. You're still going to have trouble. Now, I want to make sure I'm not painting this picture. You know, I'm a believer, and I've got all this stuff out of my life, and I'd never have a trouble again. My life is going to be just sailing on a sea of glass, right? It doesn't work that way. It's hard. But I can live above it. I don't have to get down there. I always had this one principle in my mind. If somebody's throwing mud at me, if I don't get in the pit, I'm not going to get muddy. You know, somebody wants to fight. Here's a rule, another rules I have. If somebody wants to argue and fight, if I choose not to fight, guess what? There can't be a fight. You know? I'm going to live above. Now, I'm not perfect. Put me behind the steering wheel of a car, and you guys know that. I will fight you there. I don't know about you. I went driving, I think it was Thursday, Wednesday. I forget what day it was. I went driving down to Memorial Hospital. And I'm going to tell you, the morons were out driving. I was the only one that said that. Others were telling me, yeah, you're right, Gary. You know, they went from this lane. They stopped over here. They wanted to go to Costco. And so they stopped to get over and cut me off and cut this car off to get over. And it's like, oh, let me run you over. Give me a tank. You see why I got to get this stuff out of my life? I'm not, you know, it's like, how do we live? I got to live above that. How do I get above that? I'm going to be strong-willed, Gary. I can live above it. It ain't going to work. I don't have the willpower to do that. You know, God's Spirit has to help me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're going to live above life. You're going to have some help. And it's God's Spirit. So you confess it and forsake it. You renew your mind. And the last one is the hardest. Those two are the easy part. hard, that it's the easy part. The third one I put down here, you say yes to God before you know the what? How about that? You say yes to God before you know the what? How many, you know, I want to know what God wants me to do. You know why most of us want to know what God, we want God, what? Blah, blah, blah. You know why most of us want to know why we want to know what God wants us to do? I got to get that out some way. You know why? Because we want to make a decision. Do I want to do it? We want God, you know, God, you tell me what, and then I'll decide. God, you tell me what, and then I'll figure it out. God, you tell me what, and then. I'm going to tell you the easiest way is, and this is it. You want to follow the Spirit? It's real simple. God, what do you want me to do? I'm already going to say yes. Now let's go do it. That's the way to live. God, just whatever it is, I've already said yes. I'm going to tell you, I've had some yeses I did not like. Anybody? You know? It's like, oh, God, I say yes. And then God says, go over here. And you go, God, I really don't want to do that. No, God, that's not what I was thinking when I said yes. Anybody want, you know anybody? You know, that wasn't on my mind, God. You know? Like I said, when I first became a Christian, God, you know, it took about 2 years before I surrendered to the ministry. If God would have told me when I became a Christian, Gary, I want you to become a Christian, and then I want you to understand about 2 years later you're going to enter the ministry, and you're going to start being a preacher, and you're going to go to school, and you're going to do this. Guess what? I would have turned around and ran out the door. Because it's like, I ain't doing that, God. You know? But I'm going to tell you, if you want to really experience God, it's like, okay, yes, God, where are we going to go? What's next? Where is this going to I don't know what God's going to do. I've had some great journeys in life. I've had some great heartaches in life. And yes. There's some things that's like, God, why'd you put me in the midst of this? Anybody get in the midst of a pool, a puddle, a mess? And it's like, God put me here? God, why did you put me here? My first church. I knew 3 months after I got there, this ain't going to work. I had no idea, God, what you were doing when you put me there. But 5 years later after I came here, it's like, God, you taught me a whole lot in that stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Anybody ever go to the school of hard knocks? Anybody been through the school of hard knocks? Yeah. God works. God works. So say yes to God. God, whatever you want, I'm saying yes. Look at what it says. I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Now, who's saying that? Anybody know who said that? Jesus. All right, you guys are on board. Jesus said that. Jesus said, I'm not here to do what I want. I'm here to do what God. Remember, he went to the garden, prayed, God, I don't really want to die on the cross, is what he was saying. That whatever you want, God, I'm in. We need to say, okay, God, whatever. God, I'm in. You can count on me. See, that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. That we have these little things, you know, God, I want to do. I've got my ideas. I got my agenda. Anybody got their own agenda? We have plans, dreams. I came to this church 35 years ago, and I enjoy the time. I'm having a wonderful time here. I had a dream. My dream was a church of 1,000 people. That's 35 years ago. I don't see 1,000 people. How many we got here this morning? Well, I'm not going to count. There ain't no 1,000 people here. I don't know what God is doing, but I've had a wonderful trip. My goal when I came, just so you show what my thing was, I wanted a church I could plant my life, serve my whole ministry, and not jump around from church to church. You know what? God gave me that. I get to pray at Little League. I get to serve our community on the school board. I get to walk around school on open house and enjoy the kids, and the kids come running up to me from Awana. I'm having a great life, guys. Now, do I have problems? Yes. Sometimes I am the problem. I'm my worst enemy. I don't need you guys. Yeah. What's that old saying? Out of the frying pan into the fire? Willingly. Yeah. But that Spirit just fills us. See, and that's why I want to make sure you get a picture of this morning. You've received the Spirit. You crossed that line. If you don't have the Spirit, then you haven't crossed the line, okay? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. And he pours that Spirit into us. And then we start walking in us in this world. And the things of this world kind of push God away. God, I got my own agenda. I got my own dream, my own things I want to do. God, I've got these. And so we got to come back. We got to confess and forsake. We got to reset our mind on God. And then we just go, okay, God, where we're going now, God? And let God fill us fresh and refill us anew. Does that make sense? And when you do that, there's some benefits. That's what let me get this to you right now. I want to make the sermon really practical. Let me show you some benefits. When you're surrendered to God and when you've yielded to God, here's some things. The first thing I'll put down here, we use Christ daily in our lives. When you are totally sold out to God and you're in and the Spirit has filled you, you know God is there, right? You know, there's comfort in the midst of trouble. There's peace in the midst of heartache. There's joy because no matter what's going on, God is there and you know he's there. You ever been in that turmoil? You ever been in that storm? Anybody been in the center of the storm and you just had a comfort? Nobody raised their hand on that one? Yeah? You know? It's like everything's falling around you and yet you can just feel comfort because, you know, I don't know what's going on, but God's got this. That's that feeling of the Spirit. And you can experience that. That's that victory that God wants us to have. And that's one of the benefits of walking with the Spirit. Look at what it says here. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. He's saying when you're walking in that Spirit and you got that peace of God and you got the strength and you got wisdom, you know, anybody need wisdom in relationship? You know, and God is going and he's saying, listen, you just know God's love is there. That God loves you and God cares for you and he's not abandoned you and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when you're full of the Spirit, you know that. Anybody on board with that? You know, maybe you're reading the Word. Maybe you listen to music, Christian songs, or music that just speaks to your heart, and you know God is here and God's doing something. See, that comes from that feeling of the Holy Spirit. The second one I put down here, we experience help in our prayers. Anybody need help in their prayers? You always know what to pray? Know how to pray? You ever pray and feel it never went through the roof? You know, it just kind of bounced back. Boom. Oh, yeah, there it goes. You know, Super Bowl. Boring, 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 boring. Anybody feel they pray Super Bowl prayers? The Holy Spirit wants to help you in your prayers. You don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray. I'll tell you, I've sat down and sat there, God, I'm just going to say, I don't know, do something. I've done that. Here's what it says. In the same way, the Spirit also has weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Did you know you can pray by silence? Is that possible? Yeah. Yeah, just sitting there. God, I don't know, Spirit. And you can have a peace warm over you. You can have a comfort in your heart. Because the Spirit is there. So the Spirit's going to be there. He's going to be there to help you, and he's going to be there to you. How about this one? We experience new relationships with others. So here's what I'm saying here. It takes old relationships and makes them new. You know that relationship we talked about, I mentioned earlier, you know, and I mentioned that person. You all have that person, right? We all have that person that just pushes our buttons. We all have that person that just aggravates us. Just them breathing aggravates us, right? You know? Not messing with them walking into the room, you know, they just push our... Well, that Spirit gives us a new perspective. That Spirit brings that relationship and helps turn that relationship. And that's what God's Spirit does. It produces something in our lives. Look at what it says. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, of fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one God. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for their own interests, but also the interests of others. Take around and look at others. Now, I say this all the time, and I keep repeating this because I need it for myself. When I have a battle with somebody, and that new relay, I have these three B's. Remember, anybody? I've said these over and over. I'm going to keep saying them in church so you guys memorize them. When you're dealing with others and they're having a time, and they're going to usually hurt people, hurt people. So I look at three B's. They have burdens, they have battles, and they have a background. And when I step back and I understand that, I've never forgot one of my professors at college and seminary. Him and I did not see eye to eye. I was told when I went to the class, don't write a paper that the professor will disagree with, that challenges his thought. Well, I'm Gary. I'm going to challenge that professor's thought. I don't care. You know, and he didn't give me the grade I thought I deserved. So I wrote back on that paper, tuck it back, and sat in his office. Him and I did not see eye to eye. But one time we had an event at school where we sat at a table. And we're sitting at a table, and he's sitting next to me. Isn't that the way God works? You know, that one that just ends up sitting next to you. You know, and there's another professor there and another professor there. And, you know, we're sitting there visiting, and there's other students. And then all of a sudden I hear this man's story. I hear his background. The man had entered the ministry and was pastoring back in the Midwest. On one of the days he was driving to church to preach that morning, his car slid off the road on an ice, and in the accident it killed his wife and his son. That gave me a totally different perspective of this man. Now, all of a sudden, because of his background, I began to say, you know, I'm going to have compassion on this guy. I can't imagine that wound. Even though we were never going to see eye to eye, I had a new relationship with that man because there was something different, because I understood something. See, the Spirit gives you that new relationship. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So that person that might be sitting next to you today, if it's your spouse, don't look at her or him. You know, that aggravates you. Pray. God to change your heart, all right? Don't worry about changing his. God to change you. That's what's bad, you know? God, just change them. No, God's going to change me. I don't want to change. You change them. Anybody know what I'm saying? We always want them to change. And the Spirit's going, no, you're going to change. I don't want to change. I'm okay. I'm comfortable. They're the ones that need changing. I'm perfect. Well, practically perfect. No, there's a new relationship. Am I okay? How about another benefit here? How about we experience some new quality in life? Life begins to change, and there's certain things in our life that change. There's a new character. There's qualities in our life, and the Scripture calls this fruit. So I'm going to preach on this next week. I'm calling the message, again, I'm a preacher. I can do whatever I want. It's called Fruitified. Don't you like that title? We're all going to get fruitified next week, okay? We're going to have some fun. You know, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Here, listen to what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Did you get it? Did I forget one? I don't like that. It doesn't matter what I like, does it? Yeah. But that's what the qualities are. So we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit next week. And then he wants to produce those things. I'm going to ask you, would your life be better if you had that fruit in your life? Would your relationships be better? Were those losses be better? Were those hurts be better? Were those wounds be better? If you had those qualities in your life, you can't produce them, but the Spirit will work on you. The Spirit has to work hard on me, on that patient one. All right? I mean, he got a full-time, I don't know how much he gives to you guys. He's got a full-time job with me. But he wants to do that. So we got the qualities in our life. How about this next one? We experience new power to defeat temptation. You become a believer. You cross that invisible line. The Spirit fills you with all that God has for you. And I'm going to tell you, Satan doesn't take a vacation. Satan doesn't, oh, they're Christians. Now I'm going to leave them alone. Wouldn't that be nice? Satan goes, oh, they're Christians. Now I'm going to leave them. Even Jesus was tempted. Am I right? We're going to get tempted. But I got the Spirit of God that's going to help me. You know, that Spirit of God that's going to dwell within me, that's going to bubble up and protect me. I prayed this morning as I walk around. I prayed for my grandkids, and I prayed for many of your children here this morning. And I pray that God protects their mind and their heart. There's predators out there. Do you know what the biggest predator right now is? It's called pornography. And it's not just a guy problem anymore. No, it's a major issue. And you need to know, I pray that for our grandkids, for my grandkids and my kids and your kids. Just so you know, I prayed for many of your kids by name this morning and your grandkids by name this morning. Because temptation is real. Satan wants to get you in the midst of trouble. We watched a show with my wife yesterday. And it's a guy that was having affairs. And I can't remember the name of the show, and but it was funny because he had all these affairs. He had did all this stupid stuff, and it finally caught up with him, and his life just blew all apart. We think we can get away with it, don't we? It's you know, you got to put some guardrails. I preach messages on this. So we need to understand that the temptation, listen to what it says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Anybody? Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Anybody? Notice I can't sing. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. That the temptation will always be, but with temptation will always be provided a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. There's always going to be a way. Let me get to this last one here. We expense power for effective Christian service. I said, you say yes to God. I want to tell you, when you say yes to God, God, whatever you want to do, God's going to give you the abilities, the skills, and whatever you need. It's called shape. We call it shape in our church. He gives you spiritual gifts, a heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And I'm going to tell you, he changes those. I hated to get in front of people. I've shared my first messages with 10 minutes, cried through all of it. Now I don't care who's here. I know I'm going to screw up, and I'm going to get up and get it out. God put it in my head, and God put it on my heart, and you're going to hear it, whether you like it or not. See, God changes all that. See, God shapes us. God forms us. You're not on. Spirit lives in you, and he's going to empower you, and he's going to give you gifts and abilities, and he's going to carry you through it. Listen to what it says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's not just for you. It's to serve others. And that's what the fruit that the Spirit does. And we're going to do a class. The first, second Sunday in September, I'm going to do a class on church membership. If you want to know about our church and why we do and how we do things and why we do the things we do and why we don't do some things and where the church is going and what the ideas of the church are, we're going to have a class so you can understand. You want to get baptized, you go to the class. We'll talk about how to get baptized and what's involved in baptism, and we'll go through all that. But we're also going to have a class that Dan's going to teach. It's going to talk about how God shaped you to serve him. Kind of wondering, what does God want me to do? What's that Spirit doing? Dan's going to kind of walk you through a process to kind of help you identify some of those things. And then we're going to work with you. We want you to be all that God wants you to be. We want to change the world. We want to make the world a better place. I look at our world, and I look at some of our leaders in our world, and they're not very good leaders out there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's some pretty... Well, we need to get some Christians out there. So we're going to teach us how to be good Christian leaders and go out, and we're going to attack this world. Anybody on board? You know? So that's what we want to do, God wants to do. So I want to challenge you this morning. There's the benefits. Are you full of the Spirit? Have you kind of let some things kind of gradually push the Spirit out? Anybody? Anybody kind of have some things in your life that you kind of, you know, yeah, I cross an invisible line. Yeah, I'm a child of God. But God, that's my Sunday life. That's my Sunday morning life. God, I need to get right with you. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I'm going to confess and forsake all that, God. And I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to let you fill me, God. Anybody? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you hear our hearts, you know our hearts, you know our minds, and you know our lives. And we want to live a victorious life. We're in the midst of a world, Lord, and we can blame the world, Lord, but many of it's our own doing. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you want to be filled with the Spirit this morning. Is there some things you need to confess? You don't have to tell me. Just tell God right now. You know, God, I've let some things in my life pull me away from you. I don't know what it could be for you. That's between you and God. But you just, God, I've let these things push you to the side. I've let these things pull me down. It's been school, God. It's my job, God. It's my money, God. It's my family, God. It's my neighbor, God. It's these things that have pulled me away from you. that, God, I want the refreshing of your Spirit. I want your Spirit poured out upon. Just tell him, God, take this out of my life. Renew my mind. Let my mind set upon you and the joy and the peace and the comfort that you want to bring. If you prayed that prayer and you want me to pray that God fills you, would you just shoot your hand up and say, pray for God to fill me? Just pray for God to fill me. I thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of these that want a refreshing from the Spirit. They've confessed and they've forsaken. They've renewed. They said yes, Lord, and now they want a refreshing from your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit anew upon them. He's always there. He's just been pushed to the side. He's been sidelined, Lord. But you are going to fill them anew and fill them afresh, Lord. Something special is happening this morning in their hearts and in their life. They're going to walk out of here, Lord, with new relationships and new qualities. And they're going to walk out with the peace and joy of the comfort that comes from the indwelling power of God. Because you have refreshed their hearts. You have poured your Spirit upon them. Renewed their minds. In Jesus' name we pray. I lift